When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
This is the official Caps Chirp podcast, proudly a part of the Hockey Podcast Network. Every team, everywhere. What's going on, Caps fans? It's me, the Hockey Troll, and I'm here with that snack, Polly Cupcakes.
What's going on? Happy to be here, in studio, live.
Alright, that's enough, Polly. So, Caps fans, we've got our Monday episode. We're going to be talking about happenings around the league and the incredible week that the Washington Capitals have just rattled off. And, you know, on top of that, Thursday's episode, we had Neil Villapiano on. We just streamed that. We had a little bit of a camera malfunction if you tune into the live stream only. You know, we're not shown, but that's okay because Neil was a star.
Yes, he was.
And, oh, go ahead.
Well, I just wanted to say, before we get into things, as we record, it is Sunday, November 28th. Happy Hanukkah to all of our viewers, listeners, subscribers, followers that celebrate. Yeah, hopefully it's a wonderful 8 nights for you.
And additionally, we hope that you had a great Thanksgiving.
Absolutely.
Ate a lot of turkey. Mm-hmm. And did all the things and avoided all the political discussions that probably come around during Thanksgiving. Absolutely. I know I did.
Same.
Yeah. All right. Let's get it cracking, huh?
Let's do it.
One, two, three.
All right, Caps fans. So, you know, first on the docket, got a little bit of a Thanksgiving float tribute. Paul, you want to talk about that?
Do I? Yeah. You know, so, did I put this in here?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Oh, I did.
You did.
Yeah. Thanksgiving parade, they had a tribute to Willie O'Ree.
I saw the NHL float.
Yeah.
Was that on that, or?
Yeah. So, you know, Thanksgiving Day parade float is a tribute to Willie O'Ree. And
gotcha.
So it it was themed Winning Winter Together. It was a big snowman. And it pays homage to Willie O'Ree. Honestly, I don't know in the design how it really did that.
Right.
I think it was probably more of they said it.
And we're talking Willie O'Ree, the guy that broke the color barrier of the NHL.
Yes.
And played for the Boston Bruins in the original 6 days.
Yeah, he did. So that's big time. It was in the Macy's parade, so that's as big as it gets.
Yeah, absolutely. The NHL must have had two floats then. Hockey had two floats then for the NHL type based thing, because they also had a secondary float, I thought, that was also just for the NHL.
I don't know. I didn't actually watch the parade.
Yeah, well, who does? I did, unfortunately, but
I watched a little bit, yeah. But I focus my energy on the dog show that comes on at 11 or 12.
Of course you did. Of course you did. Well, moving on then. Some news out of Montreal. Mark Bergevin has been fired. So, you know, obviously I went to, because we're so fortunate to be part of a network. We have a couple Habs experts on hand, and that's the Habs Nightly podcast. And, you know, they said it's been a decade Bergevin's been here, but, you know, you're looking at a team, and they were like, oh, you know, it's time for a change, time for a change. I'm like, dude, this dude just took you to the Stanley Cup Finals, right. And he's done, like, literally savant-level trades that and acquisitions that have been incredible. They cited that his drafting and his management of the team has not been great, and also it looks like, you know, he doesn't really like puck-moving defensemen.
Which you need in today's game.
Right. And then, you know, looking into the organization itself, Scott Mellenby was an assistant GM and suggested predecessor of Bergevin by Bergevin. And he stepped down after finding out from Molson, who's the owner of the Habs, that he was not going to get that promotion once Bergevin's contract, 10-year contract, expired. I think this probably pissed off Bergevin, and ownership saw that and axed him. Also, Bergevin doesn't speak French.
Yeah, you need that.
Which is a big no-no in Montreal. So, I think his time there was limited at the onset, which is weird because he still spent a decade. Trevor Timmins and Paul Wilson were also a call at their management level, kind of like assistant vice president or whatever the fuck weird titles that these teams make up. But former New York Rangers GM Jeff Gordon was named the new executive vice president of hockey ops for Montreal. And like I said, Bergevin's been there for a decade. I guess it was just time to go.
Yeah, it's pretty versatile to have such a racing career in Jeff Gordon and now be the GM.
Gordon.
That's a joke.
It was a terrible joke.
Yeah.
God damn it, Polly. Just to be clear, Jeff Gordon with a T does not have anything to do with racing. As Jeff Gordon does, number 24, who races for NASCAR or raced with NASCAR. You know, I mean, look, the Habs are off to a horrible start. We waffle stomped them, and we'll get to that later. But they're also, you know, and Shea Weber is on LTIR, but they're saying that he's in an advisory role already, so he's probably done with actually playing. But they've got a lot of people, including Carey Price, who carries that fucking team on his shoulders every year in and year out.
Yeah.
And you see, I mean, Caps fans, you've just seen what a Montreal team without Carey Price looks like.
Not great.
Yeah, exactly. Well, so, I mean, I don't know. Turmoil in Montreal. What else is new? The Sharks have placed Evander Kane on waivers, and that's really all we know. He's on waivers. We'll see what happens with his legal cases and whatnot that come out, but whatever. It sucks probably for the team and for Evander Kane, because honestly, he was one of their better performers last year, and who knows what's going to happen to the player, or whether that player even deserves to be an NHL player anymore. All up for debate.
Yeah, and it'll be weird that a guy of his caliber will be in the AHL if no one picks him up.
Right, right. Matt Murray, though, did clear waivers, and he is headed to Belleville. So he signed with the Ottawa Senators, was going to be slated to be their next starter, and just has not performed. They figured it was just better to give him a conditioning stint in the A. Feel bad. I wish the Penguins would have kept him.
Yeah. It really would have done great things for us here at Caps Chirp if he was still a Penguin.
Exactly, exactly. Two Islanders games have been postponed due to COVID-19 protocol. Their games versus the Rangers and the Flyers have been moved. Seven players are on protocol. You know, we talked about this last week on Monday. What is going to happen once all of, you know, like what is the plan if these teams can't get it together, and nobody knows yet. But I'm glad they're postponing, because I don't believe it'd be fair if they can't put in an 82-game schedule.
Yeah, and I just thought of, you know, the NHL reserves the right to pull out of the Olympics. It'd be real garbage if they pulled out of the Olympics because they had enough postponements.
To get, like, two games in.
And jammed them into that.
A month and a half long tournament axed because there's two games, right? That would suck.
It would. And if it comes to that, the NHL should just suck it up and have those teams play without their players.
Yeah, no doubt. I believe it. And maybe put in, like we discussed last week, some sort of rule where you can just pull up guys to fill out your roster and send them immediately back down or whatever. You know, bend the rules a little bit for this extraordinary case, which is what it truly is.
Yeah.
Finally, Doug Wilson, age 64, general manager of the Sharks, on temporary medical leave. Assistant GM Joe, I don't know his last name. I just put Joe. Apparently, his name's Joe. We'll be taking over in the meantime. Sorry, who gives a fuck about the Sharks? They're really in the shitter right now. But
good luck, Joe. Good luck, Joe.
Yeah, good luck, Joe. Hey, they just went down to the underbody of the arena and were like, Joe. Anybody named Joe? It seems like a really good name to be placing here, and that's what they did. Moving on, though, the Olympics. We do have some information here. I'll start off with Team USA and Canada have released their Olympic rosters. Finland did also. Jerseys. I'm sorry. I did not see the Finnish jerseys. Are they sick?
Well, it's just that...
I'm looking them up right now.
What is it? Is it a lion? Whatever's on their flag?
Yeah.
That normal animal they have. I think it's a lion. They just have like a big crest.
Yes.
So that looks better. I don't hate Canada's. I think they look kind of all right.
Dude, I hated that I liked Canada's jerseys so much.
Yeah.
Goddamn, they look good.
Yeah, and Team USA, they're not great. I would have to say almost every previous rendition has been better. But they're not ugly enough that if I was offered one for free, I'd say no.
Oh, shit. I'm looking at the 2022 Olympic hockey jerseys for Finland. And it's usually they say Suomi, which I don't know what that means, but they do. They're their crest with the lion holding the sword.
Yeah, it's pretty sweet.
All right, those are sick. Those are sick. And then you said the Canadian ones, though, they just look so clean. And they messed with the maple leaf a little bit, made it a little bit more flat. It looks really good. I'm looking up the Olympic hockey jerseys for the United States, and
they look, you know, a lot like a soccer jersey.
They do. Oh, and it's the line. The lines with USA across the front.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, it's not great. I think,
you know, the they have three, and the kits look okay. I mean, the two dark ones, one's primarily blue and black for some reason. And then the white, I like the white the best, it looks like, but I mean, what the fuck?
Well, I think it's a navy and a royal blue.
Oh, okay.
And then the white. Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I guess there's some kind of theme to every Olympics, right? So that's what they were going with there.
What's the theme?
I don't know what the theme is, but they they seem to redesign for every Olympics.
Look, yeah.
I mean, I would have to say my two favorite USA jerseys are like the classic miracle looking jerseys.
Yeah.
And the one where they've got that crest on it.
Yeah.
Those look good.
But bro, like the Canadian jerseys are just fucking fire.
They
like
are.
The black one with the red and the outline of the leaf, and then the red one with the black leaf. That's pretty out of character for the Canadians. Usually that red leaf is ever present. And even the white one with the kind of, I mean, this is an exaggerated red leaf, but God damn it. You know, it pisses me off that they have better jerseys. And they, year in and year out, they usually do. They have a better logo. I mean, why USA? Okay, I get it. We understand that we're the USA team, but like, and that like holds a lot of, you know, clout. But yeah.
I think it'd be pretty cool if they did in cursive United States.
Like kind of like the jersey top. Jersey.
Yeah, one on top of the other.
That wouldn't be bad. I would take that. And then you could go like old school with it.
Yeah.
Retro.
Or just put a freaking eagle on it.
Yeah, how about that? I mean, or maybe like the Capitol building.
Yeah.
Or a screaming eagle with one little weird leg. And some stars on its wings. And, yeah. And have Ole Kolzig play.
And Alexander Ovechkin.
And Ovi, yeah. Glenn Hanlon, Bruce Cassidy, and Randy Carlyle could coach.
Just to name a few.
Yeah. All right. Anyways.
Well, and the World Juniors are released their schedule.
Okay.
So it'll be starting the day after Christmas, Sunday the 26th. Team USA opens up with Slovakia. So this is in Edmonton / Red Deer.
Okay.
So I'll just give you the Team USA's games. They play Slovakia on the 26th, Switzerland on the 28th, Sweden on the 29th, and Russia on the 31st. So they are not in the same group as Canada. I like that.
Yeah, and the thing is, they've got a couple easier teams up front.
Yeah, in theory.
In theory. Slovakia and the Swiss aren't pushovers by any means, but Sweden and Russia, they're going to give them a run for the money, that's for sure.
Absolutely. You know, it could be worse. It could be Sweden and Russia and Finland and Canada. Right. So, at least they don't have all that.
That's true. So, hopefully they don't... I mean, if they do perform incredibly well on the first two games, they don't rest on their laurels as young men generally do.
Yeah. You know, and I'd say your underdogs for the tournament, Austria and Switzerland.
Yeah, I'd say.
And then the championship will wrap up Wednesday, January 5th.
Nice. So tune into that, Caps fans. I'm sure that if you're into international hockey and you're into looking at prospects, that is the absolute pinnacle of where it is.
I mean, a kid we talked about with Neil, Luke Hughes. Again, he'll be Wednesday or Thursday's episode. Luke Hughes, number 4 overall pick by New Jersey this past year, playing for Michigan. I'm sure he'll be there along with Owen Powers, Bernier, you know, a bunch of first-round draft picks that are playing for Michigan right now. So it should be a very star-studded Stars and Stripes.
And I was actually listening to an interview that Carl Alsner did on another podcast that was talking about how much your draft stock raises if you can play in the World Juniors.
Yeah.
So, you know, this is a really, if anything, Caps fans, what's relevant to you as a Capitals fan is that this is where you get to see prospects.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Across the league.
Yeah. I mean, if you're not into prospects big time, like we are, like we're not into it. So if you're like us, World Juniors is a good time to really get to know. You know, I didn't know anything about Connor McMichael until World Juniors.
In Team Canada, he lit it up, and then you're like, oh, okay, this is a guy that we have drafted. That's nice.
Yeah, exactly.
And look at him now.
Yeah, seriously.
Yeah. So, in any case, world competition is always the best, and of course we always talk about how it's our most extreme form of patriotism is USA Hockey. We'll be there with you, giving you some updates on that. But moving on, we've got some injuries to talk about. Braden Point is expected to be out 4 to 6 weeks with Tampa Bay Lightning because of an upper body injury. Sucks for him. I mean, this is a guy who's a really good player and pivotal to the back-to-back cup wins from Tampa Bay. It'd be interesting to see. They're definitely hurting.
Yeah.
They lost tonight here on Sunday against the Wild in a late goal. So, I mean, Braden Point is one of those guys, and I believe he's a center. So, strength down the middle, super important. Braden Point out, sucks for the Lightning. Brock Nelson additionally out for 2 to 4 weeks with a lower body injury. He went to some shitty college. Or no, wait, no, I'm sorry. I thought it was Anders Lee. Brock Nelson, though, out for the Islanders, and man, do they look bleak.
They do.
The Islanders do not look good. They haven't had a home arena. They finally get one, and they have not won on home ice up to this point. Brutal.
Yeah, I mean, with their injuries, their COVID postponements couldn't come at a better time.
Right, exactly. So we'll see what Barry Trotz has in store for us there. If Barry Trotz gets fired after this year and the Caps don't win a cup with Laviolette, are you in favor of bringing him back, Polly?
I mean, I wouldn't hate it, but I'd be happy with either coach.
Yeah. Look, I mean, Laviolette has done wonders for this team. Reardon, you know, it's just, the Caps, say what you will about how important coaches are and why they have a 2.5 year average lifespan, which is the shortest of all sports. I think that, you know, the coach is super important. Especially with the Washington Capitals. I mean, look at what these coaches have done. Yeah. You look at Adam Oates, Dale Hunter, like all of these coaches that have come in who've never been in a pro setting. And then you have Reardon and giving him his first shot. I mean, just look at the past four coaches. And it's Barry Trotz who's the one that got him there. And then now we have Laviolette, who's an experienced high dollar coach, and we're playing amazing. So,
yeah, I mean, I think if you look at Ovechkin's career, the only two coaches who have properly used the Capitals' talent have been Trotz and Laviolette.
Yeah, absolutely. Kevin Hayes, week to week for Philadelphia after the forward re-injured his surgically repaired abdominal muscles last week. That's a tough injury to get through.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah, it's like a hernia, basically.
Yeah, and it was pretty cool. He scored his first goal, pointed up to the sky for his brother.
Ah, yeah. Jimmy.
Yeah.
Yeah, good for him. Suspensions. Brendan Lemieux will have a hearing for biting Ottawa Senators forward Brady Tkachuk. Brady Tkachuk was absolutely livid after this little interaction. And it looked like he got cut on the fat part of his hand, like where his pinky is.
Yeah.
And he was like, you bit me. You fucking bit me. What the fuck? As he's getting, like, away. I believe that this was a major assessed on the ice. The ref looks at his hand and he's like, oh, yeah, he did bite you. What the fuck? You know? It's so weird. Hey, you know what? First of all, give props to Brendan Lemieux for, you know, just gutting it out and fighting. But I probably couldn't have... I mean, come on, Brady. You deserve that.
Yeah, I mean, if anyone deserves to be bitten, it's probably the Tkachuk brothers.
And that's not... You know, I don't believe that that's a knock on them.
Yeah, by any means. They just get under people's skin.
I'm surprised I haven't been bitten in beer league, to be completely honest.
Yeah. Well, I remember...
Right in the jugular.
One of our college games, yeah. We had a big dust-up with Marshall University, which was very much the norm. Mm-hmm. And one of our guys, he got stomped on by a skate, but our coach thought he got bit. And I remember he was yelling at the ref. It didn't matter. The ref didn't call either one.
But. Right. You know, and I called that ref all sorts of names, almost to the point, it got to the point where if I hear anybody call me any more names, they're getting a misconduct right now. You remember that?
Yeah.
You remember that? I think we were playing a back-to-back in Marshall or something. The second game, ref started crying to the coach, and he was like, if I hear anybody say mean things to me.
That ref gave me a penalty because I was a puck carrier and lowered my shoulder and got the better of the guy trying to check me.
Right.
He called interference.
Yeah, well, he's a douchebag. And it was funny because all the linesmen were so bad. We would yell from the bench, like, on and off sides, that's all the way down. That's all the way down. You know, as you do every time, I feel like.
Yeah.
Come on, ref, that's all the way down. Right? He intentionally put that off sides. And they, like, I remember it was Marcus Black, shout out Marcus. Me and him were both like, that's all the way down, ref, that's all the way down. And he blows the whistle and goes, boom, all the way down. And Marcus looks at me and he giggles and he goes, they don't know the rules.
Man, poor guy. Came out, 2 goals in his first outing, broke his collarbone.
Yeah, so... Marcus, man, drink that milk, bro.
Yeah. Now he tears us up when we play him in beer league.
Yeah, right. Yeah, right. He ain't shit.
He kind of does.
Does he? I don't know.
Anyway, to round this off.
Love that guy.
Yeah. Great guy, Marcus.
Yeah.
Panarin was fined $5,000 for taking a play on a Nathan McKinnon's playbook and throwing some equipment through his glove at Marchand on the bench. The video is hilarious. The ref is just like, what the fuck? Like, his jaw just drops when it happens.
Does he just chuck it?
Well, they're on the ends of the bench.
Okay.
And the linesman's right between them. He's standing on the red line. And they're just going at it. He just throws his glove at Marchand.
He's on the ice.
No, they're both on the bench. They're on the ends of the bench closest to each other.
He so just, like throws his glove.
Yeah. What a tantrum.
Yeah. It's a little rough. Well, you know what you can't throw a tantrum over?
What's that?
DraftKings. Yeah. The NHL season is underway, and DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NHL, has an unbelievable offer to celebrate the greatest sport on ice. New customers can bet just $1 on any NHL game and $100 in free bets if either team scores a goal. Doesn't matter if it's a one-time clapper or a deft deflection. However they light the lamp, you win. If Sportsbook isn't available in your state yet, DraftKings won't leave you empty-handed. Everyone can play for huge cash prizes all season long. DraftKings Daily Fantasy Sports Contests in DraftKings Daily Fantasy Sports Contest. Sorry about that. DraftKings is giving all new customers a free shot at millions of dollars in total prizes with their first deposit. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now. Use promo code THPN. Throw down $1 on any NHL game this week. And one puck in the net nets you a big win with promo code THPN at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NHL. Must be 21 or older, New Jersey, Indiana, or PA only. New customers only. Minimum $5 deposit and $1 wager required. One per customer. Restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Nicely done.
Are you really playing Pokemon Go as we're fucking doing the podcast, Pauly?
I'm multitasking.
Oh my god, dude. All right, Pauly's addicted, and let's roll right into the Washington Rapper. All right, so to open up this, we all did Pauly, you and I, we did our predictions for the week with Seattle in mind. Last week, right?
Yeah.
And you said 3-1.
Yes.
I believe.
No, this coming week.
No. Because we have Seattle from last week.
Yeah, well, do we really have to cover that?
Look, bottom line is I was incredibly right, 100% right, 2-1 and 1, and then Ovi scored another goal.
Yeah. Yeah, all your predictions came true.
I was perfect last week.
You were.
I've never been wrong, folks. I've never been wrong, not once in my life, and this just reinforces that fact.
We need to add that to the Hockey Troll merch. I've never been wrong.
I've never been wrong. That would be a good shirt, I think.
Yeah, you could put it on the back of the Hockey Troll shirts.
Yeah, no doubt. Never been wrong. Not once, ever, in my fucking life.
Yeah, that's good.
That whole quote.
All of that.
All of that. All right, anyways. Axel Johnson Fialbi back to Chocolate Town during this whole thing. Look, I think he played really well, but he got it, like, I think 1 point. He was the odd man out. It was a logical decision.
Yeah, I mean, he was there because we needed guys.
Right.
And he's got a bright future.
Oh, no doubt. And whether it be trade bait or whether it be with the Washington Capitals, he is a valuable asset, and I think that everybody saw it. Mm-hmm. Plus, love the fucking flow.
Oh, beautiful.
Golden locks, you know, all that. Really good.
He's a handsome man.
He is. He is. Oshbabe, officially on injured reserve. That's rough.
Yeah, he came back, played, got hurt.
Got an assist.
Didn't get to play against Seattle. Mm-hmm. In Seattle. That sucks.
The hometown crew. That really does suck. You know, this is a 2-5 loss, and the Caps are really not in it the first couple periods, it seemed. I think they were a little bit tired on their West Coast home or West Coast trip. This is the fourth game that they played on the West Coast there. And I want to say it was like the fourth game in 6 or 7 days. I mean, it was a grueling schedule. There was a lot of travel involved. Grubauer finally got his head out of his ass, and I had him on the bench in fantasy. So that's great. I mean, the hubris there is palpable, right? I just thought that the Caps were going to come in and destroy. They did not. In fact, the Caps really kind of laid a bit of an egg. It was a stinker of a game. Maybe a bit of underestimating the enemy, plus being tired as fuck from the long West Coast trip. But Wilson started off with scoring and a great play from Kuznetsov, who battled for the puck behind the net and then just one-hand pass right to Willie all alone for the finish. Kuzi's revenge tour just continues in St. Thomas, cashes in. You gotta love it. Then the Kraken crack off 4 goals, 2 on the power play.
Yeah.
2, just crack them off real quick until Ovi gets the open ice and shoots one through the glove of Grubauer. Grubauer has had to have seen that 100 times.
Yeah, right.
You know, I mean, just brutal. And then at the end, Yanni Gourde, buries an empty netter for the solid win. It's not a great game by the Caps, but instead of turtling for the home game, next game, they did put together a great effort to try to mount the comeback. I think that they did a good job. You know,
yeah, those last couple minutes, they really were pushing.
I mean, I'd say the whole third. They really just came out trying to get it. You know, once Ovi scored, it was just like, you know, uncorking the champagne and let's go.
Yeah.
It was a little too late and not enough, obviously. Too little too late, if you will. You know, and unfortunately, that'll be the last time that we see Vanecek this week.
Yeah.
So, moving on, we go back home and we play Montreal, and it's a 6-3 win. Schultz is actually out with an upper body injury, which, man, is that guy a glass cannon or what? I've got to stop telling people that, you know, Mantha, same way. I've got to stop telling people that they're going to have career highs with the Caps preseason.
You're jinx.
I am. It's a curse. It's the Hockey Troll curse. From now on, I'm never going to say anybody's going to have a career high season.
Speaking of Pokemon, that's the one you would be. You'd be Jinx.
Is that the clown?
No, that's Mr. Mime.
Oh.
Jinx kind of looks like an opera singer lady.
Oh, okay. That's weird. It's weird that you know that.
I've been active.
So, this was the Caps game from the start. Really wasn't even close as far as who was driving play. The Caps finished...
Talking Montreal now.
Yeah, Montreal. They finished the first 3-1 score. No, we're talking fucking Pokemon Go still, dude. What the fuck?
I forgot that you already said it was Montreal.
Caps finished the first with a 3-1 score and never looked back. How about that Ovi? I mean, so many amazing plays happened this game. How about that Ovi fake out? Clap bomb. Nope, just kidding. Going to Wilson for a one-timer. What an elite playmaker Ovechkin is, huh?
He really is. You know, you living where we live. Surrounded by Penguin fans.
Red douchebags.
Keep hearing the same old tired arguments. He doesn't play defense. He doesn't pass. Right. He only scores from one place. If you've watched Ovechkin since he's played for Trots,
yeah,
none of that stuff's true.
Well, and you know, the Penguins Crosby argument has devolved heavily. You know, first it was he's the best player in the world, hands down. Then he's the best playmaker. Then he's the best team player. Then he's the best leader. Oh, now he's just the best grind. This is the new one I saw on Twitter. He's the best grinder.
No.
Look, he does all those things. He does. But
yeah, he's really good.
He's a good player. Look, Sidney Crosby's good. I don't think anybody is arguing that. And he is elite. And yes, he could be a generational talent. He could be considered that, I would say. But we're talking about greatest of all time here. And I think Ovechkin has already proven that he is the greatest of all time. And I continually say it. Sidney Crosby will be forgotten in the annals of time. Like that vocab?
Yeah, that's great.
The annals of time. The annals of time.
No, you've ruined it.
Okay, sorry. In the annals of time, Sidney Crosby will eventually just be another good player like Ron Francis that played for, or like Trottier that played for the Penguins. You know, he's going to be a good Penguins player during the time in which they won cups. But I think that historians will look back and say, all right, yeah, Sidney Crosby is amazing. He was a really good player during this time. He was the leader. But he also had an incredible supporting cast. Malkin, Kessel, you know, during those times. Nick fucking Bonino. You know, it just came together at the right time for them. Chris Kunitz.
Yeah. Clutch Chris Kunitz.
Yeah. So, I do not believe that they're really in the same league. And of course I'm heavily biased. I'm incredibly biased, but at least I have some sort of like facts to go along with it. Ovechkin will break the scoring record, and at that point
it won't matter.
Yeah. You have zero bullshit to stand on, Pittsburgh. None. Explain to me at any given time what Sidney Crosby is all time best at. Not a single category. Not one. Not assists. Not hits. Not grinding. Not leadership. None of that. None of that bullshit. Okay, he won cups, but I mean, let's look at the individual accomplishments, right? Whatever. Crosby ran over. How about that John Carlson, though, to Kuzi goal?
Oh, yeah.
I mean, the vision that a defenseman has to have to line up full breath for a clap bomb and just, you know, get it right on Kuzi's stick, and Kuzi just, man, this is, I believe, oh, he knocked it in with his backhand. So he receives a puck and just right into the goal. Love to see it. Samsonov surrendered 3 goals off a turnover and off a breakaway. Weirdly enough, Cole Caulfield's goal is not available on the NHL app to review, so I couldn't look back when I was writing the outline. But I will say, you know, I think high glove is something that the book's out on for Samsonov, and we'll talk about that a little bit later. But also, you know, I mean, you can't blame Sammy for a turnover in the defensive zone and a breakaway.
Yeah. I mean, so there's only so much a goalie can do.
Right. So, great game all around. Moving on, into Florida on the 26th. Florida came to D.C. 5 p.m. game. A little odd. 4-3 win by the Caps. And so, you know, we knew this week was going to be a kind of a cupcake and then two heavy teams, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, the two league leaders, Florida, Carolina. Not only are they both heavy teams, they're both favored in the power rankings, 1 and 2. Carolina 1, Florida 2, to win the cup as the best team right now. Now, spoiler alert, Ovechkin scored a motherfucking hat trick.
Let's go.
Amazing stuff. Florida came out swinging. Both teams were feeling each other out. I think in the first, it was controlled aggression from both sides. But 30 seconds left in the period around, Huberto bangs one home. And hey, you know, that's their secondary scoring line. I mean, it's a good Florida period. It's a good, great road game period, right? Mm-hmm. But then the second opens up with a St. Thomas goal, which is his third goal in as many games, by the way. And then Ovi piles on two more. Now, I don't know what the fuck was going on with the goaltending situation in this game. Did you watch it?
Yeah. Why does this happen every time the Caps play Florida?
I don't know. The Cats got some weird cat scratch fever bullshit when it comes to fielding a goalie. Previous, it was us too. They gave it to us. The Cat must have scratched the goaltending duo in DC as well. There were like four goalie changes by the Panthers in the second. After a collision with Bobrovsky by Wilson on that first goal in the second, there's a subsequent bury by Ovi on the power play, I believe. I mean, Ovi just gobbles up a rebound. He's in like the perfect position and all alone and just buries it right on Bobrovsky. Bobrovsky does a half-hearted kind of slide attempt. I don't know. He misses an edge, whatever it is. He doesn't get it, and I don't think any goalie in the entire world would have got that because everything was 90% of the net was open at this point. It was a good goal by Ovi. And then he pulls himself after that goal. Knight comes in and goes, he's perfect. 1-for-1. First shot he faced, Ovi, you know, obviously, like a shark in bloody water, attacks the puck, gets it on the far wing, and does like a half clap bomb right through Spencer Knight. And first shot, poor old Spencer Knight, you know, faces, goes right through him, through the fucking body on him, and pops right into the net. Then Bobrovsky came back and then got pulled again. So Spencer Knight, okay, Bobrovsky's okay. He comes back out. He takes a collision with Wilson, pulls himself after the goal. Seems like a little bit of a tantrum. I mean, you know, I'm not one to speculate. But pulls himself, then leaves for like 30 seconds, a minute. Immediately after, Ovi scores. And, you know, so they've scored within the span of 2 minutes, the Caps. And Bobrovsky's like, oh no, I need to be out there, or something. Something weird happens. Bobrovsky gets back in the net, and then the refs say, like, nah, you gotta go do concussion protocol. I don't think you did it right. And Joe B and Locker were saying that for a goalie to do full concussion protocol as per the league's requirements, you have to take all your gear off, which is a nightmare. Yeah. And taking all your, like, I don't know if you've ever, you've dressed as goalie.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a lot.
I mean, you work up a sweat just, like, putting it on.
Yeah. You do. That's, yeah, so you got to take all that off. And then, you want to go back in, you have to put all your nasty, sweaty stuff on.
It's all like cold and
like it doesn't bother you to keep it on, but you got to take it off, put it back on. That's miserable.
Well, I mean, you know, taking the leg pads off are the worst. There's like 30 straps. You know, there's straps across your knee, and then you got to put the leather straps on, then you got to tie them onto your skates, you know. So, like,
it's like trying to get your belt off in your Capital One bathroom story.
That's how it felt. And then time slowed down.
Yeah.
You know, it was like I saw my life flash before my eyes. Really bad. You know, it's like the shit that comes out before you even sit down.
Yeah.
And ends up being a projectile.
Yeah, so I can just imagine how frustrating it is to have to take it all off.
Right.
And then...
Meanwhile, the game's being played.
Yeah.
And then you hear Cap 1 go fucking off the wall on Ovi's second goal, you know.
Yeah, and then you got this, like, rushed anxiety because you're trying to put all your stuff back on.
Yeah, and I mean, you know, Capstones, I don't know if you've ever seen a goalie pads, like, from behind up close, but when I would, like, I was a practice goalie for a season for my house league team in Reston, Virginia, and you would, you know, you'd cinch it down, and these pads were not butterfly pads. This is back in the day when, like, butterfly was still kind of, like, new. You'd cinch them down, you'd buckle them, so it was like a belt buckle on the leather straps, and then you'd take the access and twist it back in and put it so that, like, if you hadn't taken it off, you could just pull. You'd put it under the release so that you could just pull it away. So that's why at Capstans you may see, like, goalies have, like, a little bit of a loop at the end of all of their buckles and their leather straps. And that really hasn't changed from the best pads that the pros are getting today that are probably lightweight as fuck. I mean, last time I wore goalie pads was probably like six or seven years ago, and they were cut square for butterfly. And, you know, you go a little looser up top in this instance, but the pivot is really your heel, the arch of the heel. The arch of the front of your shin to the front of the top of your foot. And that's what really controls the pad. So, like, if you were to point your toes in different directions, the pads point that way, but they're loose up top. And, you know, goalies are probably crazy, but I remember on each of these, there was a buckle that went under. So you had to use a hockey lace and a loop to tie with string with a hockey lace the chassis of your goalie blades, and then your skates, and then you had to put a leather strap under the mid arch of your foot, and then there were like four or five other leather straps along with the inner padding Velcro that went across the bend of your knee, all on the backside. So you're putting these straps across your calf.
Yeah, it's a lot.
Yeah. I mean, even if you're, like, having to take a shit, emergency shit, like, it's still, like, a good 3-minute process.
Yeah.
Just to unbuckle shit.
Yeah.
And so at that point, you're probably, like, dragging the pads into the stall with you.
So I can see why Bobrovsky didn't want to do that.
Yeah. But I don't know why he pulled himself in to begin with.
Yeah.
So, meanwhile, comes back in the third. I don't know how that happens. We're guessing that it's an in-depth concussion protocol. They don't really offer a reason. They don't have to. They're an NHL team. But Reinhardt ends up burying one late in the second, and then Ovi caps the hat trick off in the third, all alone in front of Bobrovsky. I mean, it's just blown coverage.
Yeah.
There.
How do you do that? How do you leave him open?
That's bad D. Verhaeghe keeps the Cats in it in 5 minutes into the third. And that's really just how it ended, 4-3. I mean, we were up 4-2, and then 4-3. It was a physical game, good game. Sammy played well. There are a couple softies in this game. He does have some trouble, like, in motion through screens, it seems. I mean, he plays this Russian-style stand-up because he's so big. He's relying on his size. And, you know, when Reinhardt scored, he didn't even go down in a half butterfly. He just thought he had the angle. Which, I could understand why a hockey fan would be like, why the fuck didn't he even try for that? But that shot came off so quick. He was out in almost no man's land. You know, he was right at the faceoff dot, if not beyond it, and snipes one far side on Samsonov at about knee height. It's one of the hardest shots to stop. You know, so Stamber relies on being big and not having to move too much if he doesn't have to, which is good goaltending, technically, I guess. The Verhage goal, though, I mean, that was a snipe, and through that kind of moving screen, short side high, it's tough. I can relate to the frustration of letting those quote-unquote soft ones in, but I could see why they were let in. Pauly, I mean, you have anything on that?
No, I mean, I think Sammy played well, and he probably could have had those. But, you know, he's playing against the best guys in the world, so no matter how good he is, some of those are still going to get through.
Yeah, and you know what? Look, Capstan's full transparency. We're being incredibly, incredibly critical on Samsonov right now. Look at his track record. You know, he's put together right now in 10 games, and we'll talk about that after today's game. But spoiler, in 10 games, he's 9-0-1.
Yeah, not bad.
It's very good. Though he had 3 starts before this, so for the first 6 wins, kind of cupcake games. Yeah. 2 of them were shutouts. I mean, he's played well, but
yeah, not challenging. He's really starting to get a shot at the good teams.
Yeah, and he's getting like plus 30 shots against him. And I think that if you are a goalie and you're getting shutouts in sub 30 shot categories, you're not being tested enough. You're being stable. You know? Yeah. So that's where I've got Sammy right now. He's still got a lot. I feel he's got an uphill battle to prove. I'm not a Sammy hater. I want him to do well. But I'm a little bit of a Sammy hater. And Pauly, I know you are too, because I know that Vanacek's your boy. That's the horse you're going to ride.
Well, we're Sammy skeptics.
That's a good one.
Yeah. I mean,
it's a good one.
If he stays consistent and proves he deserves it, then that's just the way it goes. But I think he still has a lot more proven to do.
Yeah. Now, these past couple games, Protas, who's Belarusian native, has been on the top line with Ovi, dude. Like, what do you think about this big hulking Soviet giant?
I like it. I think they play well together.
Look, man, I mean, and I agree. You look at, like, where he's at. All right, so you have Kuznetsov, who is doing a great job on the boards right now. But he shines in open space. Ovechkin obviously shines in open space. He's a good body, too. But then, and look, these guys are all over 6 foot tall. But then you have Protas in there, who is a replicant, I would say, with less finishing ability than Wilson. And I think that Laviolette is trying to do what you did in college and try to spread out some talent so that we're not getting dunked on.
Mm-hmm.
Or more prevalent to probably what the Caps are doing right now is trying to get scoring ability across all 3 lines in a highly depleted lineup.
Yeah, I mean, you know, your top line some nights won't even score, or right, we'll get one goal. You know, so you're not really, I don't think it's a huge advantage to stack your studs on 2 lines,
right,
and then not play the other guys.
Sure.
So this way, you're getting better use of stamina, and you're still going to get your opportunities.
Yeah, and we're old. Caps fans, let's face it, we're old. But think about that third line, which is like right now, Leeson, Scarbosa, and help me out here.
Michael?
I think so. McMichael. So they're all Hershey guys, right?
Yeah, except McMichael. I think he's here to stay.
Yeah, but, you know, he played last year in Hershey.
Yeah.
You know, they all had some time together. The best part about what I'm seeing about the young guys and these, like, Protas, Leeson, Even Scarbosa, they're all big bodies who can move their feet. You know, they're really good puck moving and body moving people. I mean, players, if you will. I love that. And that's Cap. That's DC hockey, baby. Yeah, let's go. Big bodies who can bang and skate with some speed. That is the archetype that we look for. A little bit old school, if you will. Moving on to tonight, which is Sunday when we're recording, so probably yesterday for you and you're listening. Carolina, matinee, 1 p.m. That's a 4-2 win, baby. That is the top team in the NHL. This game, incredible hockey.
Yeah, it was.
I mean, straight up. Sprong, healthy scratch. Linchpin the Stanley Cup, Lars Eller in. I would take that all every day of the week.
I would too.
You know, Spronger's played all right, and he's netted some goals. But I just can't against Lars. There's nothing bad that Lars Eller can do.
Yeah.
Hang on to your asses, because there's something bad that he did today. But honestly, you give me a, you know, if I'm coach, Lars Eller, 100%, incredible two ways, adds a lot to the possession game and sets people up. I mean, he's the linchpin of the Stanley Cup, and it doesn't just have to do with his game-winning goal in the Stanley Cup Finals. I mean, this is strength down the middle that we have needed since pre-Marcus Johansson days. And we finally got it with Lars Eller. And nobody gives Lars Eller enough credit.
Except you.
Except me. I love Lars Eller. That Dutch lederhosen wearing beauty. But the first period of this Carolina Caps matchup, in Carolina, by the way, very sleepy. You know, sleepy start for the Caps. Let up some stupid chance the first few shifts. Think that was the shot of adrenaline / caffeine / oh shit that they needed, and they killed two penalties. You know, as a road team, you gotta expect that the home team's gonna come out and try to storm surge. Yeah. Right?
But storm surge.
The second period, man, saw Ovi come out, bury it. I mean, good God, this passing play, and anybody who wants to shit on Dmitry Orlov, shut the fuck up right now. Dmitry Orlov, I heard this on a weird, some random, like, Deadspin article or something that I was reading, where they have, which the Hockey Podcast Network is actually on this type of, when you go to a web page on your computer and podcast starts playing, like a promo for it. Mm-hmm. Well, I remember hearing this one guy was like, if I had a team full of Dmitry Orlovs, I'd win the cup every year.
I mean, that's fair.
Dude, he's everything. Dmitry Orlov is everything. He plays the body. He's an incredible defensive. He doesn't fuck up defensively. He's a puck moving defenseman, both passing and he can drive play. Now, he didn't get ripped off a couple times, but you're going to get that. You're going to get that, especially against good teams. But Dmitry Orlov is an unsung hero of the Washington Capitals team. And if you disagree, DM me. I'll fight you. I'll fight you right now. you know, we saw an incredible passing play from Orlov, just kind of like that. He gets through the crease and then just, yeah, like kind of no look backhand right to a wide open Ovechkin who buries. Gotta love it. And then less than a minute later, a fortunate bounce by Protas, a first goal from another rookie in this young career who's been, you know, Alexis Protas has been sniffing the net ever since he's been inserted into the lineup. And he finally cashes in on a cheapie. And just the cherry on top is that it goes right off Tony DeAngelo. Yeah. Right off his skate. Right in him.
Love to see it.
Love to see it. So the Caps are up 2-1. Canes never say die in the third, though. They finally break through with a Kotkaniemi. Three times. Snipe high glove on Sammy. This is where I think Sammy's weak, and I think a lot of goaltenders are weak. If you can get right past that high glove, you know, I mean, that's beer league all the way up.
Yeah, man. You know, if you can get the puck past the glove, it will go in.
Yeah. I feel like you're being facetious here, Polly. Polly, have you ever scored a high glove shot?
Yes.
No, you haven't. I've never seen it.
Okay.
You're short side blocker all the time. I don't think I've, you know, now that I seriously think about it, I think I've ever seen you score a high glove.
I definitely have.
I don't think so. Anyways, at some point during this mayhem, I mean, in this back and forth hockey, things are hot and heavy in this entire game. Physicality is up. Bad blood is up. After the play, whistles are, I mean, the shenanigans are abound. You gotta love it. You know, at some point during this mayhem known as the third period, Hags, who cannot buy a fucking goal. I just want him to bury like a beauty or any goal, anything. You know, earlier in the game, he tried to bank one off from behind the goal line and on Frederik Andersen, and it just trickles through the blue paint. I mean, this dude is so fucking snake bitten in his career that I cannot understand it.
Yeah, no, it's tough. He works so hard.
I know, and he's so good. And anybody who's a Carl Hagelin hater, shut the fuck up right now. I mean, tell me you've never played hockey without ever having played hockey, right? He's a specialist. Carl Hagelin is a specialist. He's a fourth line grinder, but he also kills penalties very well, blocks shots, and has that explosive speed at his advanced age of 30 plus. You know, God, what an old man.
Yeah, man. People over 30 are old.
Fuck you. but you know what I'm saying here? Like, Carl Hagelin is way more deserving of praise than I think Caps fans really give him.
Absolutely. He's a big part of all of their victories.
Yeah. And, okay, so he doesn't bury off. He's rings post, short side of all places, high short side, beats Frederik Andersen clean, and it just goes away. It's like, fuck. But I think this fuels them as the Habs, you know, kind of getting lucky there, is they get an absolute dog shit fucking call on their way for a phantom hook on Aho by Ferviari. This is a bad call, dude. This is all stick. Did you see it? Aho's all alone. Ferviari lifts his stick only, and then Ferviari gets cleaned out by, I think, TVR. Terrible call. This is just a bad call.
Yeah, but wasn't he up near the hands?
He was close, but I don't think he ever touched him.
I mean, I think you start getting high on that stick. It's a hook.
But it was really just a stick lift. He didn't like, his feet were moving, and he lifted and turned and pump, 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 you know, three, I mean, he strided in on him.
I don't know. When I saw it, I thought I would have called that.
Well, you're a shitty ref.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. The Canes even it up on a nice passing play after the linchpin of the Stanley Cup, Lars Eller, fails to dump the puck. And, you know, we just talked about how infallible Lars Eller was, but you would love to see him get that deep.
Yeah.
You really would. But he got a little greedy. He had Hags breaking in. And Carl Hagelin probably would have, like, C-barred it out, right?
Yeah. Or it would have crawled off his stick.
Yeah, or just no shot on net, right?
Yeah. Jeez, he would have just, like, skated circles.
Right. The problem I have with it... Okay, look. I'm not blaming this goal on Sammy at all. All right? I'm not. This is not a blaming of goal on either Lars Eller nor... Carl Hagelin. This is a more so a pump up of the Carolina Hurricanes' ability to regroup incredibly quick in the neutral zone and send everyone. They smelled blood in the water. They got the puck, and boom, the other way they went. And it was on the power play. So they already knew that they were man up. Finds a guy, and I think it was Nietzsche's, I'm not really sure, in the middle. But Samsonov overplayed the shit out of this pass. He thought it was going far side. Far side was covered by Lars Eller, who eventually regrouped. And the late man coming in ends up bearing it high glove again on Samsonov. Now, this, if you look at the, I mean, and I'm sure the goalie coach is going to say, you were guessing there, weren't you? And Samsonov is going to say, yeah, I was fucking guessing because, geez, I mean, look at me. I'm goal line extended and I just pushed off and I pushed off so hard and my head was pointed towards a sprawling Lars Eller when the guy with the puck was in the slot. Now, you know, if you ever get an NHL player in the slot, he should bury.
Yeah.
So we'll give it to him. But that was a total guess. It was a total guess by Sammy.
Yeah, and sometimes you're wrong.
Yeah. I don't like guessing goalies. That's the cerebral part of goaltending. You shouldn't be guessing. And like I said, this is not an indictment on Samsonov, but
it is.
It kind of is. Come on, man. Why the fuck? You got to push out to the top of the crease there. You can't be going. You can't. I mean, he thought that it was going to go far side. He did not scan the play very well.
No, and you know that's one of the things we've talked about. He needs to work on.
Mm-hmm. You know, he plays that like half butterfly style. Another thing I hate about Samsonov is that how many times have you seen him be too aggressive on a puck and come out of his crease and stumble and not be able to recover, or recover incredibly clumsily and slowly? Have you seen that, Polly? Or am I high?
No, yeah. It happens.
I think that he overplays a lot of situations. And yes. Again,
he's athletic enough
right.
to make up for it.
We're talking that happy Usually. Feet, but this goes all the way back to my like first indictment of Samsonov, and it was he had happy feet. He gets a little too worked up into where the puck is now and doesn't think about where the puck could be next. And I know that's incredibly hard to judge when you're a goaltender in the NHL, but all of the greats do it well.
Yeah.
That's all I'm saying. Yeah.
Simple.
Yeah. Luckily, the Caps get a 5-on-3 after a ridiculous slash and a hooking penalty. And Orlov scores a gorgeous 5-man passing play so the Caps can regain the lead.
I wish everybody could get an assist on that.
Oh, man.
Because the play was just so good.
Just around the world. And that. So generally, you know, when I watch hockey, especially on TV, when you see the whole ice, you can be like, all right, that guy's open. He's going to get the puck. Or should get the puck. But this one happened so fucking quick, I was like, like right before Orlov got the puck, I was like, you know, one more, and then boom, he buries it, and I'm like, oh my god, that was incredible, incredible stuff. As the first penalty expires, so it was technically a 5-on-4 power play goal, and the Canes go even. Now, at this point, Rod the Bod has literally lost all his shit. You know, hilarious, scary, and arousing all at once. I mean, this guy with his disjointed nose and his scarred up face and his 8-pack, just everything was full. I could see the 8-pack through his suit.
Yeah.
Lots flexing.
Lots of masculine energy.
Yeah, flexing and just exuding energy from it. All.
I felt the energy.
Yeah.
In my plums.
Deep in my plums. And they swelled to a dark purple hue. Look, I know, look, Cap's Twitter, I know that you're all pissed off about Rod Brind'Amour right now, but good God, is he the man. Look, I can't hate. And maybe I'm too old, but I saw Rod Brind'Amour play.
You are.
I am old as fuck. I should probably die tomorrow. But at the same time, I mean, I'm nearing the end of my life, you know, at 34.
Jesus Christ.
But I'm telling you, you know, back in the day, Rod Brind'Amour was the quintessential. I mean, if Rod Brind'Amour in his prime played for the Washington Capitals, they probably would want a fucking cop.
Yeah, probably.
This man was an unstoppable force.
He's a stud.
Guarantee that after that game tonight, all the boys on the Carolina Hurricanes had to go do weight training. Guarantee they all did at least three sets of Olympic lifts, whether it be bench press, squat, deadlift, cleans, whatever they did something. And then they had to do cardio for a ridiculous amount of time, and then I bet he added sprints if he didn't skate them at the end of that game.
Yeah, he probably made them get into like a human pyramid and do body squats as in unison.
All right. I like Rod Brind'Amour. Dude's a man. He was a Carolina Hurricane fucking legend and an American legend. I believe he's American.
I think so.
Maybe not. Maybe he's Canadian. Fuck. But it's Rod the Bot. And this is the shit that we're going to have to deal with, Caps fans, in the playoffs. Like it or not, this is going to happen.
He's Canadian.
He's Canadian. Yeah, of course. I'm sorry. Trade you Phil Kessel for Rod Brind'Amour.
Oh, I'd take that any day.
Yeah, right now. At the end of the game, JC himself buries an empty netter. Amazing game. Physical, heated, fast. You know, chef's kiss. It was incredible hockey. Brind'Amour said it. The announcer said it. Captain, this is a really good game. Yeah, I mean, this is the rivalry, whether you like it or not, is alive and well in Carolina.
Yeah, it is.
Sorry, but I mean, at this point, it's inevitable. I didn't want it. You know, Carolina used to be the punching bag of the Southeast Division. No longer is the case. But good God, what a game. And wow, what a performance by the Washington Capitals. Come out, dominate, get those two goals. Ovi contributing. Protoss getting a lucky bounce. But then having the fucking audacity to come back after they tied it up. Past couple of years, there were Caps teams that would not have done that.
No, they would have pooped down.
So, you know, the number of Caps to score the first goal this year, 6. LaPierre, Fabiari, Leeson and McMichael, Pilon and Protas. They now stand atop the division and the league. What a time to be alive, Caps fans. Ovi is one goal shy of tying the power play goal record set by Dave Andrechuk. By the way, that's Hall of Famer guy. Never heard of him. Here's the thing. I almost don't want... And this is blasphemy. I feel like I'm going to be struck by lightning. I almost don't want our veterans to come back.
Wow.
But this is something we talk about year in and year out with the Washington Capitals. How many players are the Washington Capitals blocking out due to their incredible veteran core? You know, I'll take Backy. I'll take Backy. Take Backy back, of course.
Well, you can not take back Oshie.
And that's the thing. Like, I do not envy Laviolette and McClellan to figure out who goes down. It's a tough call. And on top of that, these guys, I think that these young guys being injected in the lineup is something that, you know, like we haven't seen, Caps fans, it's something that that the players themselves have not seen either. Not a lot of young blood comes and stays and becomes a, 5-6-10 game staple in the locker room. Now that they are, they're kind of like feeling the vibes of these young guys coming in. You can just that it's conjecture, but come on, look at what they're putting on the ice. Look at Ovechkin. Look at all of the lineup from top to bottom, even including Wilson. How much jam everybody's playing with. That's not just Laviolette.
No, yeah. These young guys are definitely bringing the juice.
No doubt, man. No doubt. I love it. Love to see it. What a time to be alive, Caps fans. I mean, we're sitting at top of the league. Can this be sustained? Who knows? As of right now, what, Paulie, Ovi's on set for 140-point season, 70 goals, 70 assists?
Yep. It'd be so cool if he did it.
And if he does it, he eclipses both Jagr and Howe in this season?
No, he'll be a few short of Howe.
Three low. Like, it gets him to 800, isn't it? Goals? Yeah.
If he gets 70 goals, he'll be at 800.
Imagine that. A 70-goal scorer in this economy. Ugh.
What a blessing.
I mean, I'm just going to say it's never going to happen.
It probably won't. But it'd be great if it did.
I'd nut.
Be a lot cooler if it did.
We already talked about how much I'd nut if he got like a 65, if he broke his previous record of 65 goals.
So
in a season. Kid's unstoppable. Here's the kicker. He's doing it all on 5-on-5 play. He's got like 2 power play goals.
Yeah, right.
That's trash, Ovi. Only 2 power play goals.
Yeah. Who does he think he is?
I don't know. Alexander Ovechkin or something?
Even a shorthanded goal this year. The audacity.
Fuck him. I mean, the guy's playing like an all-time great.
Imagine that.
Imagine. All right, Caps fans. Next week, we've got a slow week. Time to cool the Jets, which honestly, I'd rather have 5 games next week so that Ovi can continue to pile them on. But on the 2nd, we've got Chicago, and on the 4th, we've got Columbus. Now, Chicago's really turned it on in the past few games. They may be a force to be reckoned with, but I believe that they will crush. I mean, I believe that the Caps will crush Chicago. Columbus, punching way above their weight right now. I believe they're in a playoff spot. Weird.
It is weird. I mean, they've been surprising us so far this season.
Right.
And, they're not stopping right now.
Yeah.
Playing in this competitive metro.
Right.
Winning games. Yeah, they're in 4th in the division.
Mm-hmm.
So, they have the top wild card spot.
Quite the surprise. The Penguins, unfortunately, sit in the last wild card spot. Took a 6-3 loss to Montreal last night, which was on Saturday. Let's hope that continues. But, you know, imagine a playoff scenario where the Penguins are involved.
Be great.
Be really good. I'm saying they go 2-0.
Yeah. How many Ovi goals?
None.
None.
0 Ovi goals.
Well, I think Ovi scores 1, and the team goes 1-1.
Okay. I think we continue winning, but no Ovi goals. And, you know, I've told you on this podcast I've never been wrong. And I'm only saying 0 because I know that I'm going to be wrong.
Well, little reverse jinx.
Huh? It is. I'm reverse jinxing it. Because I think he's going to light up Chicago and Columbus. But I'm going to say 0 to get that mojo. That, you know, you got to have the balance of energy out there.
Right.
Absolutely. You know. So, Paulie, this may be the one time that you superficially outsmart me.
Can't take it, no matter what, huh?
Told you I've had it wrong. No matter what.
You're the smartest guy you know.
I am literally the smartest person I know. Caps fans, thanks so much for tuning in. If you're a new listener, please go, and if you like this whole thing that we did, go to wherever you're listening and rate us 5 stars.
5 stars only.
And, you know, if we hope you liked it. We hope you come back. If you're an OG and you've been listening to us for a while, we love you and we mean it.
Love you, mean it. Check out our TikTok. We've been getting a little trendy.
I guess we've been getting trendy, and goddamn is it embarrassing. But we do it all for you, Caps fans, and that is the main priority for us.
Yes. Like we said in our tweet on Thanksgiving, we are thankful for all of you, our listeners, subscribers, followers. Thank you for making this not just us yelling into the abyss.
Right, which mostly that's all it is. But we hope you liked it, and we're glad that you liked it. And, you know, share it with your friends. Rate us on whatever platform that you're listening on. And tune into us on Thursday. We've got Neil Villapiano. He's a young guy. He's really cool. He's honestly one of the most gracious hosts that we've ever encountered, and does it all himself. He's truly a self-made man, I'd say. What about you, Polly?
Yeah. I mean, he's in his early 20s. He's a podcaster, published author.
Yeah. I think he's self-published 3 books already.
Yeah.
And he spans several sports, including football, hockey,
baseball
as well. I mean, the dude is living the dream, so good for him. Let's support him however you can. Check him out on Thursday. He's super well spoken. He really carries the podcast for us on Thursday. So until next week, Hockey Troll, Polly Cupcakes, signing off.
Bye.
Hey, Caps fans. Thanks for tuning in to the official Caps Chirp podcast, repping the greatest team in the NHL. Follow me, the Hockey Troll, at Hockey Trolling on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter.
And follow me, Polly Cupcakes, at Cupcake Polly on Twitter, Instagram, and TikTok.
And follow the show's handle, at Caps Chirp, on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and TikTok. Special thanks to the Hockey Podcast Network, at Hockey Podnet on social, and thehockeypodcastnetwork.com. The Hockey Podcast Network. Every team, everywhere. Check them out, or we're not friends anymore.